Ladies and gentlemen, it is great to be a Red tonight. Where do I start? Liverpool basically clinch their 20th Premier League, well, English top flight title, second Premier League titles of the Premier League era. 20 ties us with the hated Manx down the road in Manchester. And we already had the most trophies in English history with 69. United have 68. This will give us 70. If we win the Carabao Cup against the Saudi Newcastles, then we have 71. And who knows what we'll do with the Champions League. But already the most successful club in English history, tied with Ferguson's Manx with the most Premier League or most top flight English titles of all time, 20 and 20. And yeah, there's just no looking back. We have a lot to discuss. And it almost makes me not even want to talk about the Aston Villa match midweek because, you know, who cares at this point? We have to talk a little bit about our friends from London to Arsenal who did the deed on Saturday for us against the Hammers. The Hammers, of course, heavy underdogs in that match. The Emirates was a fortress this season. Arsenal had not lost there since they bottled the league last year in the match against Aston Villa, of all teams. And it looked like Aston Villa was going to put a little bit of a dent in our side this midweek fixture, but no, West Ham goes to the Emirates, drops the first loss at home on Arsenal this season, and Arsenal now find themselves, instead of being 5 points back, they are now 11 points back. Granted, a game in hand, but the schedule does not really get much easier as it progresses towards the end. They have, in the month of May, a match against their arch rivals from, well, one of their arch rivals from London, Chelsea, and then, of course, a match at Anfield, which the title will be clinched long before then. If it's not clinched in just a few weeks, really, it'll be clinched long before then. It really won't even matter. Wouldn't even surprise me if Liverpool dropped that match because the championship will have been won. The Premier League will be done and dusted. They'll have the beer parade. And we'll have to figure out for us, who is the Jack Grealish for us that basically doesn't contribute much but pours the most beer on people during the Premier League trophy celebration after the final, the 38th match day. We'll have to figure out who that's going to be. We also have to talk a little bit about this Darwin Nunez problem, okay? And I wanted to offer a different perspective on it. So, you know, the match today, we saw Darwin and Diogo Jota on the bench, and you know Darwin had his hoodie on or whatnot, and just looked really sad and depleted. And this is the reason, you know, I don't want to talk about the Aston Villa match because really it should have been a Liverpool win. Darwin was beaten by a keeper. He's a pace merchant who was beaten by a keeper who probably runs a 5.5 40, a 40-yard dash. I mean, and for people who don't know, that's very slow. It's like offensive linemen in the NFL slow, you know, slobber knockers. And Darwin Nunez is supposed to be this pace merchant, supposed to be one of the fastest guys. I want to offer a different perspective on him as we get to talk about him, this 85 million pound striker that we have, that I honestly believe was bought in error, never really fit Klopp's system, certainly doesn't fit Arnie's system. And if you saw today, a 4-2-2-2 lineup, this is an RB Leipzig type of lineup. This is what Ralf Rangnick was doing at Leipzig. And then, of course, Ralf Hasenhüttl ran it at Leipzig when they came up to the first Bundesliga. It's a really unique formation. This is, you know, the Yusuf Poulsen, Timo Werner formation with Forsberg and Sabitzer back in the day. And you had the Curtis Jones playing the role of the false nine today. So that very famous Roberto Firmino spot that he occupies, which is, you know, to say Curtis Jones was, you know, was never really in the right position a lot of times under Jurgen Klopp. And I feel like that Arnie Slot has unlocked the key to Curtis Jones and who he is and what he is on a pitch. I thought he played brilliantly today. Szoboszlai was the man of the match, undoubtedly. Just unbelievable contributions from him, the Hungarian national team captain, and of course, Mohamed Salah, a goal and an assist. It seems like every match, a goal and an assist. And I have to give, you know, you have to talk about the AFTV people, you know, Arsenal Football TV. They have conceded. They have conceded defeat. Don Robbie or whatever his name is, you know, listen to him and Lee Gunner just to see what their reactions are. I normally don't really care, but I felt like this needed my attention just because I felt like this is the weekend that the league was won. This is the weekend that Arsenal knows that they do not have a chance anymore. And Pep Guardiola in his press conference today basically said it's Liverpool's won. He wouldn't commit to yes, but the reporters were trying to get an answer. Could see yes, Liverpool are the champions. See, they wanted him to say that. He wouldn't say that. He said it's Liverpool's league to lose, which is true, you know. But it's interesting coming from. It's nice to hear the guy that cheated for every single title he won in England off the back of oil money. And it's really nice to see Liverpool doing it the right way. No summer purchases except the guy who's coming off of a blown ACL from Juventus, that being Federico Chiesa, who barely sees the pitch. So Liverpool, basically, same team that Klopp left is the same team that Arne Slot got. He left the cupboard very full, but we, you know, admittedly, as a Red, myself and millions of others were not happy with the summer window and really kind of bellyaching over the you know, no Zubimendi, none of those guys, you know, that we were targeting came in, and then January comes and goes, and we still don't reload. And then you start to see, you know, some of the cracks, tired legs, a lot of competitions. You have the out in the FA Cup to Plymouth, and you start to, I mean, granted, it was an inferior lineup. It wasn't Slot's best lineup, but nonetheless, you know, I'd rather have the FA Cup than the Carabao Cup, but we're in the Carabao Cup final, so let's go win it next weekend. And you start to see draws. Everton, okay, granted, last match ever at Goodison, we knew we were going to be facing some tomfoolery there, but the 90th plus 8 goal, Konate's fouled, doesn't get called. I mean, 2-2, probably the best we could have expected given the circumstances. The win against Wolves was much, much tougher than it had any right to be. But a W's a W. And then the draw midweek against Aston Villa. You go into the Etihad where, you know, Klopp didn't have the most success. He did. He destroyed them in the Champions League back in 2018. En route to the final against Real Madrid. But, you know, the Anfield's been the fortress where Pep has had so little success. I think one or two wins there all time in his entire career. And it's where Man City went to die. Well, you know, Liverpool, kind of the same thing at the Etihad. Draw a lot of draws there, but really not a lot of wins. Well, today, 2-0, just a comfortable win. And Liverpool weren't at their best. And, you know, neither one of these sides were at their best, right? So Real Madrid knocks Man City out of the Champions League. They wear that FIFA Club World Cup badge with utter disgrace because they're not even getting to, I mean, it's long since overdue. It should have been stripped of them. But that competition has changed. So we have to wait until the summer until we crown the new FIFA Club World Cup champion. So they're running around with that badge, which is undeserved. And Real Madrid are the reigning Champions League winners. So They're Man City's just running around on something that isn't even there, rightfully theirs anymore. And, you know, Liverpool come in having to kind of, you know, what are you going to get from them after those defeats to Real Madrid? Well, you know, if you look at the stats, like, look at the stats here, right? So City with 16 shots, 5 on target, 8 for Liverpool, but 4 on target. So Liverpool had a 50%. Shot success percentage, and Man City is well below that. Not even, I mean, we're in the 30s here, 30% or 5 of 16. And expected goals, 0.73 to 0.69. And then, you know, Liverpool was happy to concede possession. Man City had 66% possession, 647 passes to Liverpool's 331, 7 to 5 corners. Liverpool had 10 to 3 fouls, no yellows, and Liverpool had 4 offsides, the 2 for City. Liverpool, you know, they finally protected a 2-0 lead at halftime. Same exact scenario that they had the week before at home at Anfield against Wolves. But I will tell you, it's hard to get up for Wolverhampton Wanderers on a sleepy Saturday at home and you're playing a bottom of the table team fighting for their very survival, it's hard, right? So they come out in the second half flat. At one point, Wolves had 10 shots to Liverpool's none in the second half. Liverpool's different against big clubs. Liverpool going to drop points. If you're going to drop points, it's going to be something stupid to Southampton or you know, it's like Bournemouth or something like that. Not this year's Bournemouth, obviously, but, you know, there's no shame in that. But in years past, Bournemouth, you know, Leeds, Ipswich, Luton, Southampton, Crystal Palace cost us last year. We know that. Crystal Palace dropped points to them. That's the match. Not so much Everton hurt us last year, but Crystal Palace was the nail in the coffin for us. That's where we're going to drop points. We don't drop points against, you know, or take losses to City and United and Arsenal and those clubs. When we show up, you know, a couple weeks ago, we beat Spurs 4-0. Today, we beat City 2-0 on the road. We won at United 3-0 earlier in the season. Arsenal came back, drew 2-2 at the Emirates. We have them later on, this, like I said, in May at Anfield. We'll see what we do there. Chelsea, you know, typically Liverpool, at worst case scenario, it's a draw with them. So that's not really, you know, we're not really vulnerable against the bigger sides. And then, of course, we don't even talk about Champions League. Liverpool blew away Real Madrid this Champions League season. They blown away everyone, with the exception of the final match day, which they already had the top two places locked down. So we're getting number one seed. Knew that was coming. Didn't have anything to play for. Before that, perfect. Seven wins out of seven matches. It just couldn't get any better than that. So the thing with what we were looking at was, can we, you know, City's going to come out on fire. Can we withstand what we know is going to be a very frantic and very tough first 15 minutes? And we did that. We did that to a great degree, because Salah, before it was 20 minutes in, had already scored the 1-0. You see De Bruyne's reaction, you know, just a blows his lips, shoulder shrug, just, you know, can't believe it. City goes out, right? And this is the thing. Panic buy after panic buy after panic buy. They buy the little kid, number 45, what's his name? Marcus Shukadoveli, whatever, he's from Georgia, Ukraine, Uzbekistan, I think is where he's from. Just, not panning out. They get Marmoush. Frankfurt's like, we don't need him. We'll sell him to you. Frankfurt's going to get Champions League qualification in Germany. Looks like they're going to be a solid top four lock. And they sold him. You know, Marmoush comes in. He gets the hat trick last week against Newcastle. And today, the big moment he had, he got a goal, was offside, clearly offside, you know. So City are doing this just to even, I can't even really say they did it to stay in the title race. I think City panic bought to stay in the Champions League race, because I think they knew probably late November, early December, their goose was cooked in terms of Premier League title. It was all going to be, there was a point where Chelsea was still making a conversation. Then they slowly, you know, around Boxing Day, January of New Year's, they were forgotten. Now they can't even win matches. I mean, they lost yesterday in spectacular fashion to Aston Villa. So not a bad week for Aston Villa, actually. And that's where Liverpool comes in to play, is what are you going to do the first 15 minutes? Well, it wasn't shortly after the first 15, Liverpool gets the 1-0, and then really, after the Marmoush offside goal, that was it. You know, Szoboszlai comes, you know, 20 minutes later, puts the 2-0 on. Now it comes the question. You're going to halftime. You're up 2-0. 8 days ago, you were up 2-0 to Wolves. This is a much better side than Wolves. You're on the road in a place that's tough to play. This, you know, doesn't matter what you want to call it, Etihad, whatever, Etihad, whatever. It's tough to play. It's a quality side. They've got good players. And you're just waiting. You know, Liverpool, when it gets 2-1, when it gets to be 2-1, are they going to crumble? Is this going to be, you know, because that's when Brother Momentum comes back into play, right? And Brother Momentum, when that brother comes around the block, that's a hard thing. He's hard to shake when the momentum switches, especially when it comes to football. If you can't hold that 2-1 lead, a 2-0 lead, and you then don't capitalize and turn it and flip it to a 3-1, I always say if you're 2-0 up and you concede, you're closer to 2-2 than you are to 3-1. You got to go prove that wrong. But Liverpool stayed steadfast. They never buckled. They never wavered. Alisson had his best match. Since I don't know when. I mean, clean sheet on the road at City. And really the only thing more impressive than that would be a clean sheet at Arsenal. If you're keeping tabs, which West Ham did on Saturday. So it's funny. Liverpool never wobbled. It was never shaky. It never felt like they weren't going to win after the first goal. So that's where we find ourselves right now. It's just basically maintaining this energy, this good feeling, and just coasting in. You know, all you have to do, you know, you've parallel parked it. You've got the back end. You just gotta ease the front end, right? You just gotta ease the front end. Don't want to hit bumper to bumper. Don't make sure, by the way, that you have a tailgate cam, a back cam, right, on your car, because that's how you ease it on in there. And we're not one of these automatic cars that parallel parks for you. No, Liverpool still does it manually, right? So, but we've got the tail of the car is in, and all we have to do is just turn the wheels the other way and ease it on back and just nudge it forward, and then boom, turn the car off, season's over, present the trophy, number 20 at Anfield. Done and dusted. Maybe we have a little UCL. Maybe we have a seventh European trophy, a European masterclass to go with the other six that we already have in our trophy case. And there's no one else in England even close to us on that. United's got half of that. Yeah, they're the closest one. So it's just really good times right now at Liverpool. Now I want to talk. Let's talk about this Darwin Núñez problem, okay? Well, before we get to Darwin Núñez, speaking of Portugal, it's my understanding that our good friend Mr. Stephen Bates, I heard he is currently in Portugal, and apparently he's drunk, and he's driving around from Porto to Lisbon and all this stuff today. The man went over there, vacation, went to go hunt down Darwin Núñez kits, didn't find any, and went to the Benfica store, actually, and showed me a picture of that, but he has found some wine over there, and he went to a wine convention. But Stephen, man, shout out to you. I know that you have been watching the Reds while you've been over across the Atlantic, and you've texted me quite a bit. And I hope you're having a blast, and can't wait to see you when you get back to Park Circle so we can talk more about Darwin Núñez. I hate to, because this is going to sound really woke of me. And I don't want to come across that way. But you have to, there's things you have to consider. I was an athlete. I played four sports growing up. And I don't know. I think the kids of today, because Darwin's like half my age. And while I'm probably in as good a shape as he is in terms of like abs and like, you know, conditioning and stuff. He's faster than me. I'm not going to claim that. But other than that, you know, I'm good. But you know, he definitely has me beating football skills and pace. So, but I don't know if my mental is probably better than his. And that's where I wanted to talk about this, right? I think you have to look at it from a perspective of he's taken a lot of abuse from Liverpool supporters over the last 3 years. You know, I think you hear some of these chants that you can hear it at Anfield. He gets a lot of positive energy. And I think that a lot of people, me included, man, I have wanted him. Now, I'm not going to name him because I actually like the guy. I love this guy, actually. But, you know, I'm going to say there's an Irish guy on YouTube that does watch-alongs. And I've become a fan of his. I really do enjoy him. I think he's, but I don't want, he had a meltdown during the midweek against the Aston Villa squad that we should have beaten because of the Darwin Núñez the Martinez, when he basically just needed to move the ball around the keeper and just put it into an open net. Slot came up in his press conference and was making excuses for Darwin. That's when you're politicizing it, right? You're trying to keep it as positive as possible for the player who's already downtrodden, right? And everybody's like, well, he's great for Uruguay. He's great for Uruguay. Well, you know what? Uruguay is not paying him his wages, okay? He's not. They're not. Uruguay is, what is that, 10, 12 matches a year? You're playing 60 for Liverpool. That's your bread and butter. That is where you make your money. That's who paid for you to come from Portugal to England. Massive fee, record fee for Liverpool Football Club. And he has under-delivered. And people talk, you know, we talk, oh, the Forest match last season. Well, you know what? That was damn near a year and a half ago. And yeah, he scored two goals late and we won. But we didn't win the title last year. We're going to win the title this year. And he has contributed absolutely nothing this year. But I think his confidence is gone. It's shot. I think that he wants to leave. I think he realizes that this was a mistake and that quite possibly he may have outkicked his coverage, as they say in American football. I just think that there's nothing left to gain from him. They play him centrally. That's all you can do. I guess you could play him on the wing if you want to, but who's he going to replace? Salah's got the right wing locked down. Gakpo and Diaz are your choices on the other side. Jota central if they're on the wing. And then if you're not playing Jota, you can play Gakpo centrally. But where's Nunez going to fit in here? Arne Slot has given him every chance to succeed and make a name for himself. And God have mercy, if it wasn't on display midweek, then I don't know what more you can say. He's just gone. The tank is empty. And I don't want to say, so going back to my YouTube friend that I like, he said he's not a professional footballer. And I don't agree with that. I do not. I think Darwin Nunez is a professional footballer. I think there is immense talent there. I mean, you can't play for Uruguay where you're the best player, you're the star, and shine like he does and come up big in these matches against other teams, you know, big sides in South America, Colombia and Brazil and Argentina. That's elite talent. And I just named you a couple countries that have elite talent. And Uruguay's top four, top five side in South America, which is saying a lot. I mean, there's only 10 sides down there, but or 10 or 11. They're one of the top four, and that's football royalty down there, you know? There was a time when Chile was up there, you know, when Sanchez and those guys and I can't think of his name right now for Bayern Munich and Barcelona, the Mohawk, my Mohawk friend. Anyways, I'm not looking him up. Out of sight, out of mind is what I call it. But his name will come to me. Anyways, play number six for Bayern Munich. But like Alexis Sanchez, for example, he was obviously a star on that team. But now it's Chile has morphed into Uruguay. Uruguay is the latest greatest on the street there in South America. And I just think that he's more relaxed playing in a blue shirt and he doesn't feel the pressure. And that's really, you know, it's the anti-Messi effect, right? Messi was never felt any pressure for Barcelona. He was just gold. I mean, he could never do it with Argentina. It just did not matter. And at one point he even said, just not destined to win with Argentina. Blue and white stripes, just not my thing. Never going to win a damn thing other than maybe a Copa America. I'm not winning a World Cup. I'm just not going to. I'm okay with that. And then in 2022, he wins it, and that's fine. Got the monkey off the back, and that's great. But Nunez is the anti-Messi. And whereas he, and I'm not taking, and in Portugal, he was fantastic. So I'm not going to, but on the biggest stage, not the Portuguese league, but in the biggest stage, Premier League, most successful league in the world, biggest league in the world, most watched league in the world, richest league in the world, where the big, as they said in WCW back in the day, where the big boys come to play. That's where sorry Spain, sorry Germany, sorry France, sorry Italy. That's a fact. England is where the big boys come to play. And you'll notice that a lot of the English teams, the best teams in England, are not majority English players. They're from all over the place. South America, Africa. That's how it is. That's where you best players, most money, biggest paychecks, most celebrity. And you make it there, as Frank Sinatra said, you can make it anywhere. So I just think that Nunez is spent mentally. And we have to consider that, right? And the mental health of the player. And I do. There is a part of me that legitimately, because look, when he came, 2022, Liverpool away kit, I bought it, put his name. It was when he was back when he was number 27. It's on there. I got it, you know? Not ashamed to say that I did. But I just think, you know, we're not going to get what we got, what we paid for him, and that's okay. But I think it's time after 3 years. We've seen this experiment. And it was kind of like foreshadowing, right? His very first appearance, he gets a red card under Klopp, and it's just like, you're suspended. And that just set the whole tone off wrong. So I think that Nunez needs to leave Liverpool. He needs a change of scenery. And he really, I thought like Borussia Dortmund was a great landing spot for him. Go somewhere where they really, you know, they got rid of Daniel Malen. They obviously spent a couple years since they had a really great striker in Erling Haaland. Yeah, Guirassy's pretty good this year, but I really don't think he's as good as Nunez. I think Nunez is better than Guirassy. But and Guirassy's also, he's the number nine for the worst Dortmund team since 2014-15. So they're probably not going to be playing in Europe. And if they do play in Europe, it's not going to be Champions League. Maybe Conference League, but this is the worst Dortmund side in years. And I'm saying that about a team that was minutes away from potentially winning the Champions League last season. Took Real Madrid to the 70th minute at a 0-0 and down to the wire. It just blows my mind. But that would be a good landing spot. I'm not really concerned about where Nunez goes. I'm just saying Liverpool's got to offload him. And you have Chiesa as a winger. Maybe he comes in. He comes in next season fully healed, 100% back. We don't know. Salah's contract, we're still up in the air about, right? But in a perfect world, you have Salah, Chiesa, Gakpo, Jota. And what's going to happen with Luis Diaz and Darwin Nunez? Diaz, you know, I don't see the incentive to leave. Why would you want to leave Liverpool? But rumblings of Barcelona, rumblings of the, whatever. So you have options. Now, today, you see how they line up. Jones up front. Curtis Jones, you know? It's, also, like I said, Cody Gakpo is reinvigorated under Arne Slot. Just didn't look the same player last year under Klopp, but Arne Slot speaks that Dutch, man. He's got that Dutch lingo with the Dutch player, right? And so we understand each other on a different level. It's funny to me that the Dutch manager comes in and all of a sudden we've got Gakpo magic, you know, again. So I think that I'm not saying to cut Nunez any more slack, and no one's saying that. But I think we need to understand where it is and why it is. And I think that he is just, he's broken. He's a broken person as a footballer. And I think that, you know, his social media posts and then deletes and tweets and deletes and all this, it doesn't do Instagram and all this stuff. That doesn't do him any favors, but he's gonna make young kid mistakes, right? But you just have to have a mental toughness about you. And I think his mental fragility is ultimately what did him in. And you Which maybe isn't a good fit then for Dortmund, because Dortmund are known to be mental fragility. I mean, this is what you listen to any German pundits, and they'll tell you that Dortmund's football mentality is as low as it gets in the Bundesliga. I mean, we're talking lower than Bochum, who just, you know, basically fighting for their very existence in the top tier, just beat Dortmund 2-0 last weekend like it was cupcakes, you know. So maybe Dortmund's not the best place for him to land, but I think there's a lot of great situations, but Liverpool's not it, right? So we're not going to suffer without him. Get 25 million for him, call it a loss. And I look at that as, look, Amorim came into United, said, okay, we're getting rid of all this dead weight. Let's trim the fat. Let's do it, right? So they did it. And I think Liverpool needs to do that with him. Talking about a few other players. We have to look forward to this summer. Now, Arsenal's going to be in a lot of turmoil this summer. What I'm understanding is there's about to be a mutiny there. So Arteta's job is probably anything but safe, I would say, at this point. 5 years, no trophies, and some bottling in there, and then, you know, a lot of bridesmaids, never the bride stories. But they're going to, I think, you Zinchenko, maybe even Odegaard, this whole thing could be falling apart. So, but equally, Liverpool you can't have another summer like last summer, okay? You can't, you know, we need some depth, we need to reload. Contract situations with players still up in the air. Don't know how those are going to play out. Nothing set in stone. But, you know, it's so weird how we have to look at what Arne Slot's done, right? So, I mean, Klopp left him this incredible side. And then you have to look at Arne Slot. Did Arne Slot just out-coach Pep Guardiola today? Like, is he – you look at Forest and you say, well, you know, they're starting to crumble. They lost again today. But thanks to City losing, they're still Champions League. But we'll see. Can they hold on? Can they hold on to that for the, you know, next 11 match days, whatever? But you have Forest, and you say, well, maybe – considering the personnel, they had the manager of the year. But then you have to look at Slot, who had Chiesa really hasn't played. So he's a transfer by name only. He has not contributed essentially anything to this season. So it's the same team copy and pasted from Jurgen Klopp's 38th match day to Slot's first match day. And what he's been able to do to transform this squad, and he's found these roles like we just talked about with Jones and Jota playing central and putting Gravenberg. I won't yet call him world class, but elite or very good number six, one of the best number sixes in the entire continent of Europe. I mean, which basically essentially means the world. Certainly England, Europe, yes. Ryan Gravenberg, unbelievable number six. That's under Slot system. And he's the Gakpo whisperer. Got, you know, Cody Gakpo. Reinvigorates Salah. Salah comes in last season, comes back off of the African Cup of Nations, kind of banged up, never really regains his form. And this season, he's going to win the Golden Boot. I mean, age 32, doing this Golden Boot, assist king, penalty king. He's just, he contributes so much to what Liverpool do, what they are, who they are. And that's all because of Arne Slot. And I understand the Nottingham Forest story, and it's a great Cinderella story, and they have no right to be where they are, but they are. And that's on the manager. Job well done. But Arne Slot has transformed what was already a good side into a world-class side, an elite side, a championship side. And that's his credit. He's done this. He's, you know, I heard it all day today from Arsenal guys. Like, you have to, like, these guys are saying you have to give him his due. Like you can't take that away. I'm listening to Gab Martinelli talk about how what Slot did outcoach. Let's talk about that. What did he outcoach Pep? And I think that he did, because both sides are coming in. They're not on their best. They're not hitting their peak, right? So City's coming off a rough week. Champions League dismissal. They're gone. They're out of the competition. They never even make it to the knockout stage. And Liverpool's coming off of two draws in their last three matches. Everton, Aston Villa, and then a very, very, very sloppy, ugly win against Wolves at home last week. So 9 possible points. You dropped 4 in 2 matches, really shouldn't drop points in. So Slot comes in, you know, City's not really at their peak. Liverpool's not at their peak, but Liverpool did what they needed to do. They executed. Salah, Sobo, they did the things that they needed to do in the first half. They took care of business, and then they hunkered down and they protected the goal, which they have not. This is something, Liverpool had the best defense in the league at one point. Remember that they conceded 1 goal like weeks into the season. Conceded 1 or 2 goals or whatever it was for weeks on end. And then we started seeing these times again, like we saw under Klopp at the end, those last couple of seasons, where Liverpool concedes first and they have to come from behind. 1-0 down, have to come from behind, win 2-1. How many times did we go through that? The 2022-2023 season, 2021-2022 season. I mean, it just seemed like Groundhog Day. And then we started seeing it creep in. So under Slot, this, you know, the last month or so, last month, maybe 6 weeks even. So now we're seeing a 2-0 lead protected. Van Dijk, intelligent today. Konate, intelligent today. All 5 substitutions made sense for Arne Slot. You know, when you think about, you know, hey, Kwanzaa's coming on, Drew Kwanzaa's coming in, Simikas comes in. You have Endo coming in to lock it down defensively. Gakpo comes in for Diaz, and Harvey Elliott comes in for Mohamed Salah. So all of this makes sense, right? It's just, you know, it's the formation and the instructions that were given to the players, the execution of said instructions, and then being able, this is what Slot was a mastermind in the first 15 to 18 match days, was closing a game out. It wasn't about, you know, Klopp, it was always 4-2, 4-3. We are going to outscore you. Heavy metal football. It just, you know, high lines. No, Slot was 2-0, shut the game down. 2-0, we're done. And that's what he did. That's what he was an expert at. And now you saw it today against who I do think this. I know the United are the all-time arch rivals of Liverpool, but when it comes to the competition, when it comes to Champions League, when it comes to FA Cups, when it comes to Carabao Cups, when it comes to the Premier League, the last decade, it's undeniably Manchester City, okay? So our new school arch rivals on the road, 2-0 at halftime, 45 minutes to go plus stoppage time, shut it down. Lock it up. And Arne Slot did that. Mastermind. Masterful in instruction, execution, and result. You cannot deny those 3 things. So yes, outmanaged, outcoached, however you want to put it, Pep Guardiola. But I've said for years, and I'll say it again, that Guardiola is a great manager when he has great players, and he's surrounded by an unlimited bank account. So they bought Savinho in the summer. Rodri goes down. They panic buy in January. Marmoush comes over. I mean, complete panic buy, right? I mean, Frankfurt didn't have to sell. You got to think about this, right? Frankfurt didn't have to sell. They're in the top 3 spot in Germany. At one time, they were 4 points back of Bayern in second place. That's, I mean, you know, but they, you know, let him go and got their 60 mil or whatever it was. And yeah, okay, he got a win against Newcastle, hat trick, first half hat trick, nice. And you know, that's nice, but the matches you need to win, those matches, though, especially today, you know, not a factor other than the offside goal. That's it. And last I checked, offside goals don't count. So they're now stuck with these players. I guess Pep can play around with it this summer if he wants to. But Slot is going to have. Also, this is going to be a big summer. It's going to be a transitional summer for Liverpool, I feel, because a lot has to happen, right? Contract situations, DVD, Salah, Trent, right? Trent, I'm almost positive, is gone. Just sign VVD and Salah and be done with it. VVD is not the specimen he was. Like, he doesn't have the pace he used to have, and but his football IQ is still second to none, right? He's probably the most intelligent center back in the world. And the thing is, you don't get dumber the longer you play. You get smarter. I dare I say Michael Jordan was smarter with the Wizards than he was with the Bulls, because he lost a lot of his athleticism and he had to compensate. He had to compensate for the loss of athleticism with brains. How is this guy at 41 still scoring 50 points in a game? How does he do that? You know, because he did. How does he do that? Well, you're a smarter player. VVD is closer to the end of his career than he is the beginning, but he's so intelligent. Ibrahima Konate benefits off of being paired with VVD. Do you really want to see what Konate looks like next season by himself back there? You know? Joe Gomez is probably gone. And, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. How much more time does Robertson have left? What is the semi-cut situation like? Wataru Endo, you know, Klopp and Liverpool were faced with a situation a couple years ago, or I guess last season. Or was it, oh gosh, when Endo come in there? Endo was 2023 or 2020? I think it was last. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was last season. He got him from Stuttgart summer before last. And Stuttgart captain comes in, going to lock down, solidify defense, good purchase, $18 million, not going to break the bank. But Slot uses him in, you know, 85th minute. You sub him in, kill some clock. And that's not, you know, that's the Giovanni Reyna role at Dortmund. I mean, you know, you're just. You're going to roll this clock down, right? So Liverpool, I still think, and by the way, with winning the title this year and locking it up and joining, you know, Inter Milan with winning 20th, their 20th last season, joining United with winning 20 in the league, we're going to join the 20 club, you know, Juventus is there, Bayern's there, Celtic, Rangers, those clubs, right? They're, you know, all of them. We're joining the 20 club. And despite the fact that we're doing that, I think there's going to be some players that drop off. And you're going to have, but, you know, the list of people that should want to join Liverpool on the mission to number 21 should be a long list. And who doesn't want to join the most successful club in the world, most successful club in England? So it's going to be a transitional summer for Arsenal for sure. City, we'll see what's going to come out of the 115, but. For Liverpool too, you know, I think we're gonna bid adieu to a couple of familiar faces, and certainly I think Trent, like I said, almost as good as gone, right? So it's just it's gonna be interesting to see where all the chips land and what we have coming up this summer in terms of like who's leaving, who's staying, who's gonna be coming in. So. This is kind of the last. I would say this squad is kind of the last of the Jurgen Klopp era, if you will. I think Slot is going to get more of this will be his first. Well, last season was his first summer, but this is going to be his real summer to analyze and to. I mean, because this time last year he was still at Feyenoord, right? Now he's going to be able to pick the players specifically for his system that he wants to run at Liverpool, right? It's no more transition. New keeper coming in, right? Kelleher's probably out the door. Alisson, what's his future look like? We don't know. So that's, I didn't even bring him up. But yeah, so I think we're going to have some exciting times as well. But yeah, so Newcastle coming up, obviously, this week. And we're going to get really familiar with them over the course of the next few weeks, right? Because we have them in the league, and then we have them in the Carabao Cup final. So March 16th, February 26th, roughly 3 weeks apart. We'll see how it works out. But you still have to prioritize things, right? So Liverpool have, it doesn't get any easier, the schedule. You know, we're going to go from Manchester City to Newcastle, and then on March 5th, we go right into PSG. Then it lightens up with Southampton, then back to PSG. So Champions League. So you got to, okay, this is the tough fixtures, right? Newcastle, PSG, Southampton, PSG, Newcastle, Everton. Those are your six fixtures between today, the 23rd of February, and April the 2nd. So Newcastle in the league, PSG, March 5th, March 11th in the Champions League, Southampton sandwich in between that in the league, Newcastle in the Carabao Cup final, March 16th, and at home against Everton, which I know that's okay. That derby, you want to win. It's at Anfield, and get some revenge from last season. Enough with these draws with Everton. Let's beat the Toffees' asses and let's get this over with, right? But it's a derby. It's going to be a challenge. It just happens that way because Everton, it's like their Champions League final. I mean, it's the biggest thing. It's that this is all they have to look forward to. So tough stretch of games. But I think we got to take care of business. Just so you know, focus on that. But what do you prioritize? PSG is not an easy ticket, right? Tough draw in the Champions League, but everything is going to be from this point on. The best 16 teams in the world are left. That's who's playing. Sorry, Man City, you're not part of it. And so you have that, right? You have that staring you right in the face in between a tough league match, a derby, and a domestic cup final. You have sandwiched in there, PSG. The only thing that's really, you know, whatever is Southampton. So anything but 3 points there is absolutely unacceptable. And I think that a little bit of me says, okay, now that the league is really, really safe and things are looking, you know, double-digit lead with 11 match days left, that's it, right? One loss in 27 matches. How many do you have to lose in the next 11? Arsenal has a chance. Maybe if you lose three, maybe they have to lose four. They definitely have to win the head-to-head at Anfield. Not going to do that. The draw is the worst case scenario. Like I said, unless Liverpool have clinched the title, then okay, who cares? But I still want to see Liverpool win Champions League. Sorry. I want number seven. I want to tie AC Milan. I want to get that. I want to get the seven. Lucky number seven. Let's go for it, right? So yeah, I tired legs, fatigue sets in. Well, this is where Slot can rotate, right? Southampton is a match where he can rotate. He doesn't have to play his best 11. That should be a win. Maybe even, you know, with Newcastle midweek, you can rotate. You've had Aston Villa middle of this week. Then you had City on the weekend. And then this midweek, you have Newcastle again on Wednesday. That's a lot of big matches in a very, very short amount of time. So rotate the squad. PSG next Wednesday. You know, let's go ahead and get that done. Let's get that out of the way. Win that fixture and put all the pressure on them on March 11th in the return fixture. But let's win it. Let's get into the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Let's do it, okay? A lot of excitement this week. And there's a lot of – I want to talk about the Nunez situation because it is right there front and center for us. And it's a subject that we have to cover and that we have to resolve this summer, I believe. And the only resolution I can see is a transfer out. loan or transfer out, whatever it takes, right? And yeah, Champions League back on the horizon. Basically clinched the league this weekend, okay? But still a lot of moving pieces and a lot of uncertainty when it comes to player personnel, right? Slots coming back next season for number two. Going to look to be title defenders. Can they win? Can they win two in a row? Can they? That's the thing, right? Can you? Klopp had a very, very shaky title defense in 2020-2021, okay? They ended up finished. They were as low as eighth at one point, ended up finishing third on the final match day. Slot's got to follow through. He's got to follow through, I think, and do better than that. And I think that that's where it's going to come down to this summer. Intelligent buys, keep the right people that you need to keep, send the wrong people that no longer have a role in this team, go let them go, either let their contract expire or entrance case, you know, expire, go to Madrid, whatever you want to do, and let's bring the right people in. Who that is, we'll talk in the future about who Slot may be targeting, where he's going to go, what's his mindset, right? I just think that what he did today with this formation and the personnel he used, the way he used Curtis Jones, I'm still just gushing over it. I love it. I love it so much. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of the Anfield Dynasty podcast. And I want to say that, you know, up the Reds, it's great to be a Red. And yeah, we will do this whole shebang again next week. Up the Reds on Wednesday against Newcastle. Let's get three more points in the bag. Let's send Arsenal out in style, 15, 16 points back in second. Let's really cinch it in. I think that would absolutely be the perfect way to end Slot's first season, is a Klopp-esque type of title win like we had in 2019-2020. Let's do it by 18, 19, 20 points, okay? Let's do this. Let's really cinch it in. Leave no doubt, as they say. Yeah, until then, everyone take care, stay healthy, be well, and we'll see you next week. Deja aquí a esa nena. ¿Quién puede parar eso que al bailar descontrolado?